Tribal leaders from Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota recently met with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency about the proposed iron mine near Lake Superior. They're asking the EPA to use its powers under the Clean Water Act to shut down the Gogebic Taconite Project, the proposed iron ore mine for northern Wisconsin. In our big question today, we ask you, should the EPA halt the mining activity? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We will talk with our guest, a political analyst as well as an environmental public policy analyst, and we will welcome your thoughts and questions for him. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, August 27th. Do you support or oppose the iron mine project near Lake Superior? Do you think the EPA will or should shut it down as the tribes are requesting? What dangers are posed to the water in the region because of this project? Michael Kraft is a professor emeritus of political science as well as a public and environmental affairs analyst at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we set up this this big question discussion to talk about the tribes asking the EPA to halt the mine. And then yesterday the mining company announced that its plans to submit the application to develop this $1.5 billion iron ore mine will be pushed back from the spring of 2015 until at least the fall of next year. Apparently, they have been unable to get all of the testing work done in time, so there is this delay. What's your take on that, if that's significant or not?
Well, it may be significant. All along, I think we knew that this project was going to require quite a bit of environmental assessment, particularly the impact on water quality, which, as you noted, is the basis for the tribal appeal to the EPA. So what the mining company is now saying is they basically need more time to do the preliminary analysis. And there's really quite a lot of analysis that the DNR will request and also the EPA. So in a way, the tribal appeal for the EPA to announce right now that the project will not go forward is probably a little premature, but the act of requesting the EPA to make such a decision may speed up some of the assessment that will be done. But Gogebic also has another problem, as I think most listeners know, which is recently there have been some press accounts suggesting that they had undue political influence on the governor and the legislature because of a campaign contribution. So that may also be a factor in their decision to delay a formal request for the permit and just maybe let the air clear a bit before they invite more controversy over the mine, which I think, as most listeners know, has been enormously controversial already.
Yeah, well, in for those listeners who may not be aware, the latest release of John Doe 2 investigation documents, it showed that Governor Walker was urging campaign donors to donate to outside groups like the Wisconsin Club for Growth, a conservative group that supported Governor Walker. And there was a donation of $700,000 from GTAC, the mining company, to Wisconsin Club for Growth. Governor Walker says that he was not aware of that contribution and said there was no pay-to-play scheme.
That's correct.
You're thinking that that GTAC is thinking, maybe it's time to step back a little bit.
I guess I'm thinking there must be some connection because all these announcements have been within 1 week. And it's certainly possible that the controversy over the campaign contribution had nothing to do with the decision to delay the formal request for a mining permit and therefore examination of the environmental impact. We're essentially talking about the environmental impact of building a very large mine. But this is also not a very good week for the mining company, and it's wrapped up in the current election, re-election campaign for Governor Walker. And whether the governor was aware or not aware, the $700,000 is quite a sizable contribution. It's hard to ignore something like that. So it creates at least some doubt that this process of passing the initial legislation, which weakened state mining regulations and which sped up the process for approving the mining project, was not somehow related to what many would view as an unwarranted and very large contribution to the campaign, hence the language pay-to-play that. So it would create a rather bad feeling about the company, and maybe delaying things for a while until the fall election campaign is over would be helpful to the company.
Yeah. Well,
of course, on the positive side, we should say the company is arguing, and those who back the mine, that it would be an economic boost for the state, and obviously job creation in the state has been perhaps the biggest issue in the campaign. And this is all along the number 700 jobs related to the campaign, and as you noted, a $1.5 billion mine. So this is those who supported the mine, quite aside from any concerns about the environment, saw it as an economic development measure, particularly for northwestern Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the bill that, or the law now, that opponents of the mine say weakened our standards.
Yes.
The author of that law says no environmental standards were changed.
Well, as I understand it, that's not really correct. It's the and as I think some listeners know, the Senate state Senate initially rejected the bill.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite a controversial decision. It was 17-16. Following the recall elections and some changes, the Senate finally, in February of 2013, passed a bill, 17-16. The governor signed it on March 11th of 2013. And the bill was clearly tailored to make it easier for the mining company to succeed. I don't know that there's much doubt about that. Much of the discussion about what the legislature did was to expedite the process. I suppose it's debatable whether you could call this weakening environmental protections, but what they said is the DNR has a limited number of time, a little over a year, to make a decision. And it also changed some language in the law, which would have made it harder for the mine to proceed. It has to do with where mine tailings can be placed, and has to do with certain protections under the law for water quality. And I think that's the basis, back to your initial question, I think that's the basis for the tribal intervention. The tribes are concerned about the impact of the mine on water quality and on fishing. So their argument is that the operating the mine produces an enormous amount of what we call mine tailings, or rock that is removed. It's a very deep and very wide and very long mine. And the argument is if you dispose of those anywhere near the mine, you may harm local water resources, and that will be carried downstream and affect fishing and eventually affect Lake Superior. So my view is that the legislation that was very controversial at the time and passed by only one vote did, in fact, alter the process of decision-making for approval of a mine, and in that sense, I think it does weaken the environmental protections that were there. That's why I think pretty much every natural resource and environmental group has opposed the mine on the grounds that it changes what has been longstanding protection in Wisconsin for water quality. And so the expectation is you do very thorough environmental assessments before you approve a mining project that could have that impact.
So why are the tribes asking the EPA to use the Clean Water Act to shut down the proposed mine? Is there precedent for doing such a thing?
Oh, there is absolutely a precedent, yes. And the tribe has good reason to do this. Fairly recently, just this year, the EPA issued, this was back in July of this year, so just a little over a month ago, the EPA issued a proposal that would greatly limit mining activity in Alaska's Bristol Bay. This is a major sockeye salmon breeding ground. This is a so-called pebble mine that some know about. And that was the result of a tribal request to the EPA, exactly the same thing, really, a mm-hmm. tribal request to the EPA under the Clean Water Act, where tribes have a special role. In this case, it was a Canadian-based firm, Northern Dynasty Minerals, that wanted to start this project. And that was going to create 1,000 jobs and be a quite large project, although not, as I read it, as large as the mine in Wisconsin. And the EPA, reviewing all the environmental impact data that it had, said it would be an unreasonable impact on the environment that could not be justified. And they talked about even more jobs, I think 14,000 jobs in the fishing industry and hundreds of millions of dollars in the economy that could be adversely affected. So I think the tribes in Wisconsin were aware. This is only a month ago the EPA made this decision, and they were aware there is a precedent, and the EPA acted favorably to the tribal request. So in this case, the tribes are asking the EPA, based on, I guess, both current information, whatever's coming when the studies are completed, to make a similar decision, which is that the mine will have an adverse impact on water quality, on the local economy, and the tribes have a special role under the Clean Water Act to make such a request. And it's certainly possible the EPA will rule that way, or it's possible the EPA will say, and this could be a long, drawn-out process. The decision the EPA made that I mentioned is still subject to a public comment period that runs until, I believe, September 19th, mm-hmm. my notes say. So once they make a decision, it goes back to a public comment. It's a formal administrative decision. It may be the EPA will say, well, let's wait till the DNR and the mining company do their scientific assessments, and then we'll look at the information. But this tells us the tribe is already indicating it intends to oppose this. So I think there is a precedent. Beyond that, I think everybody knew at the time the law was passed. As I noted, it was enormously controversial. It was based on a single vote in the Senate. I think the way it was rushed through, quite aside from the most recent information that the mining company donated a very large amount of money to the governor's, to the Wisconsin Club for Growth, which was part of the whole recall election campaign, I think everybody knew that this was going to be politically controversial and that it would not be easy to get all the permits for this mine. And by passing the legislation in that way and arousing such opposition among, and this was largely a partisan measure, so environmentalists and Democrats and tribes argued at length that it was premature to do this, that the legislation was too favorable to the mining company, and it was pushed through essentially without much compromise. And I knew at the time that when you pass legislation that way, when you rush it through and it strongly favors one side, you are inviting controversy. And at the time, everybody expected, I think, there would be lawsuits, there would be requests to the EPA to overturn the DNR's action, and that at best it might be 4, 5, or 6 years before the mining company would succeed. And so this was never going to be a short-term, let's build the mine today and create those jobs. It was bound to be a protracted controversy, I think in part because of a decision that was made, I think an unfortunate decision, rather than to compromise, to rush the legislation through to strongly favor one side. The sort of thing that just arouses the opposition.
We will talk about this ongoing controversy of the proposed iron mine in northern Wisconsin in our Big Question segment. Our big question is, do you want the EPA to halt the mining activity in northern Wisconsin, as tribal leaders have asked the EPA to do, and related issues? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Citing the Clean Water Act, tribal leaders are asking the EPA to shut down the proposed iron mine in northern Wisconsin. We are talking with our guest political and environmental policy expert about the situation and talking about some of the latest developments, and we invite you to weigh in on this week's big question. Should the EPA halt the mining activity? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Michael Kraft, a professor emeritus of political science as well as public and environmental affairs at UW Green Bay. Let's go to the phones. Barbara in La Pointe is with us. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, Joy. Thank you for taking my call. I say absolutely the EPA should shut this down for many reasons. It's a very complicated situation. One of the biggest reasons is because all through this legislative process, while the $700,000 was allegedly being used to buy the legislation, we watched as overwhelming majorities of people were against this bill. Overwhelming. In fact, on the January 2013 hearing, there were 1,047 emails were sent to Tiffany, six of them for the bill, and represented 1,081 people who were opposed to the bill. And this just got more and more and more. And so you can see why that money, you can see the people didn't want it. And it, there's all sorts of environmental reasons, all sorts of reasons to close it down. But it won't happen because the tribes will, if this doesn't work, I'm quite sure that they'll begin to take it to court once they try to apply for permit.
Mm-hmm. Professor Kraft?
That far.
Yeah, I think I've seen a number of polls, some that were co-sponsored by Wisconsin Public Radio and St. Norbert College and some other groups, including Marquette University Law School poll, that did indicate the public is certainly divided and probably more people are opposed to the mine. I know there's quite a lot of opposition in the area that is near the Pinoki Range in northwest Wisconsin. You tend to see a little different reaction once you get to public hearings and people send in emails or show up at hearings. I think it is likely that you'll see more opposition in that case. The other side, of course, would argue, well, we're creating jobs. On the other hand, of course, a mine may harm tourism and fishing. As I noted, that was the basis for overturning the EPA's decision on the Pebble Mine, is that the adverse impacts could actually cause the loss of more jobs than the mine would create. So there are a lot of people who are upset about this, and as I mentioned early on, the latest evidence about the very sizable campaign contribution, if anything, I think is going to have a more negative impact. The public would be even more upset to learn that the bill was pushed through after such a sizable contribution, because it just, even if it's not a sign of corruption or pay to play, it looks like there's undue influence.
And Barbara says she is fairly convinced the tribes will go to court if the EPA doesn't halt it.
I think you can count on that. As I mentioned before the break, one result of having a controversial bill like this pushed through the Senate by one vote margin and without much of an effort to accommodate the opponents, almost guaranteed that you were going to get lawsuits. And I think that's unfortunate for backers of the mine. I would have thought it would have been more sensible to make some moderate accommodations so that you avoid the kind of reaction that we're seeing now. But that was not done, or at least not done sufficiently. So you have the EPA appealing to the EPA, and frankly, if that fails, and that alone could take a year or two, but if that fails, then, of course, tribes may go to court.
Let's take another
call. That's why I think it's unlikely that we're going to see a decision to open the mine for quite a long time.
Steve in Montreal is with us. Hello, Steve.
Good morning, Joy. This is Steve. Speaking from the downslope, I live on the downslope of the Montreal mine, and I did retire up here from Indiana. And I would ask your guest, yourself in particular, who has traveled from Montreal or from Hurley, the county seat, to Mellon along Highway 77 and looked at 100 years of mining history that ceased 50 years ago. What do you see? Local citizenry, as I go about my normal commerce, all say, and I will say, let's find out what's there. Let's do the scientific analysis, as your guest has said, and find out what's actually there. In speaking with at the harvest camp, one of their officials out there last fall, and he was a native, one of our indigenous people, had a very good display out there, and he told me that their resources were unlimited in opposition. That's, I think, of some significance. Yeah. And also,
Steve, we have a news break coming up, and I want to give at least a minute to Michael Kraft to respond to the, let's let the science come in before we make any judgment.
Yeah. As I indicated already, I absolutely agree with that. I think a decision like this needs to be made on the environmental assessment or the scientific analysis of what resources are there, what it would take to get them out, what consequences we might see in terms of water quality. So the decision in part ought to turn and let the DNR go through the DNR has already proposed a series of standards to be met, and they will go through that. And the whether the EPA acts or not, the DNR already has, I think, several years worth of procedures that need to be followed. And then ultimately it's up to citizens in the state and the state government to make a decision.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, even before the science is in, a lot of people are fearful that this is going to harm the environment.
I think they're fearful because they don't have a lot of confidence in the process. Mm-hmm. I have a little more confidence that if the DNR is allowed to do its job correctly, and I agree with Steve on that, let's find out what's there. All along, I thought there's no reason why you cannot operate a mine, but do so in an environmentally responsible way. The fear that the opponents have is, once approved, this will not be done correctly.
Let me hold you there, because we do have our news break coming up, and we will continue our conversation about whether or not the EPA should shut down the iron mine in northern Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Should the EPA shut down mining activity in northern Wisconsin? That's today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Citing the Clean Water Act, tribal leaders asked the EPA to shut down the proposed iron mine in northern Wisconsin last week. We are talking with a guest environmental and political policy expert, and inviting you to weigh in on today's big question. Should the EPA halt the mining activity? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Michael Kraft is a professor emeritus of political science as well as public and environmental affairs at UW Green Bay. And let's take another call. Let's go to Mary Lisa in Shawano. Hi, Mary Lisa.
Good morning. Thank you for this big question. And my answer is absolutely, absolutely. The Great Lakes, Lake Superior, I mean, this is a water issue. It's not just about fishing and tourism. Lake Superior is the mother of the water system. And it's not for sale. And if it ever were for sale, it would cost a lot more than a handful of jobs and $700,000. So I say, great, EPA, go in and figure out what, you know, do the assessments and all those things. But people don't trust, like you said earlier, the people don't, you know, this is about money. And so there's no trust in the process that's gone on so far. And so there's a big fear that these facts are going and the science are going to be ignored, and the trade-off is going to be devastating for the money that people feel that they will gain.
A reaction, Professor Kraft?
Yes, yeah, sure. Mary Lisa, I think, is quite correct. This is really about the environmental impact we're talking about is about water quality, and it affects local tribal waters and fishing, but also Lake Superior, since ultimately that watershed drains into Lake Superior, and that has been a source of concern. She also notes, I think, correctly again, and as I tried to emphasize, that trust has a lot to do with this. Normally, we'd like to think the Wisconsin DNR or any other state agency is capable of reviewing the evidence and making a fair decision, but that level of trust has declined. And I think that in part goes back to the politics of the way this mining legislation was proposed. And then ultimately, as she points out, this is about a trade-off. Every time we decide to develop a project like this, as I indicated before the break, it's possible to develop a mine with adequate environmental safeguards. But if you don't believe the safeguards will be adequate, then the trade-off is you do much more damage. And this was the Pebble Mine controversy in Alaska. You lose more jobs and you lose more economy or other things that you value, rather than just look at, well, we're going to create the mine and create 700 jobs. And as Steve noted before, let's look at the science, but also it's not just about science. It's about how people respond to it and about long-term as well as short-term, both economic and environmental impacts.
Yeah. Well, the Lac des Flambeaux tribal president, Tom Molson, who was among the tribal leaders that asked the EPA to halt mining, said that he said that can we trust the federal government in their endeavors to do the right thing for us? Probably not. But he said his mistrust of state government is even greater. Said that Wisconsin passed. Go on.
Right, and I think that's what I was referring to. If you pass legislation like this, which was bound to be controversial, passes by one vote, and during a highly controversial period for Wisconsin, I'm talking about 2011 and 2012 and 13, there's not a lot of confidence that the right decision will be made. Now, I do have confidence that given enough time, the DNR, if it follows its procedures, and this could take several years, would be able to look at the scientific evidence and come to some conclusion. Former DNR Secretary George Meyer said, when he looked at the DNR schedule, said the company, the mining company, faces a daunting workload in the coming year or two. And he even said it will probably take 4 or 5 years before a permit could even be granted by the DNR if it follows through. Now, the legislation that was passed called for a 420-day decision deadline by the DNR
right,
because it was attempting to rush through this process. And that's where the distrust comes up. If you're going to rush through it, a lot of people would say you've already made the decision. You're going to rush through it and grant the company a permit. And that, I think, is why the tribes don't have as much confidence in the state and are looking to the federal EPA to intervene and curtail the project.
Let's go next to Mike in Leona. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. I'm familiar with the watershed area, Iron County and Bad River area. I could probably come in from a selfish point of view. I'm a trapper. I don't want the North developed at all. I mean, I just don't want it. And you want to bring jobs, you need a lot of big jobs, go to Milwaukee. You know, otherwise, you don't have a North. I don't trust anybody when it comes to the mine. But that earlier caller from Shawnee, if she's listening, I'd like to ask her this. Some of the worst polluters, that Lake Superior watershed is a Bad River Indian Reservation. What they should do is take the money and get them a wastewater treatment facility that is up to par and works. And that would also help. So there's a double-edged sword. I don't want the mine, and I want the reservation to clean up their water system. You can't talk out of both sides, but I agree the mine's going to ruin the area. And nobody's going to make any money on it. They're going to come in. They're going to come out. If you follow a commodity today, ore's down 60%. You know, they're going to get in there, they're going to go out, and then it's going to just scar the area. But that's a selfish point of view. I understand that. But a lot of us guys in the North, they just don't want it.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. A couple of different points there.
Yeah.
We have heard this point that the wastewater treatment plant is polluting the water up there. Do you know much about this?
I don't, but certainly if that's the case, then it's up to the DNR to take action against the tribe and to make sure the tribe has the funds to develop an appropriate wastewater treatment facility. But what Mike was also saying is this is a part of the state that is largely undeveloped. Some, of course, would like to see more development and the jobs that come with it. Others value the area precisely because it's attractive and it's undeveloped. And I made a brief reference earlier to, I couldn't find any numbers on it, but the tourism industry, of course, and it's hunting and fishing and recreational activities, that's a pretty valuable industry for the Northwoods area. And so you'd always have to consider not just how many jobs will a mine create, but how many jobs might be in jeopardy if the area, because of the mine, becomes less attractive. And I don't know that is part of the assessment that anyone is looking at. It's less of an environmental assessment, more of an economic one. But every time I've seen an economic analysis, it always talks about how many jobs will be created and how much money the state would get from the development, not looking at the other side, what is the potential for loss. Loss in many ways, economic loss, environmental loss, loss of an area that people find attractive. And that also underlies the tribal request to the EPA, because there's not a belief that the DNR will not adequately consider all of these different factors.
Well, we have Mike Wiggins from the Bad River Tribe on the line to talk more about this this wastewater issue. Mike, go ahead.
Hi, Joy. Mm-hmm. A quick comment about our wastewater treatment facility. We are in the process, under EPA compliance, of getting that fixed. We do have the final kind of plan and the financing to get that situated. About being the worst polluter in Lake Superior, you know, our wastewater treatment facility does 70,000 gallons of effluent a day. A local small town west of us does 1 million gallons of effluent a day. Now, the percentages of our, I guess you'd say, quote-unquote, pollution are within that 70,000 gallons a day. But a quick comment about the 404C request. All you have to do is put yourself in Lake Superior looking back towards the mouth of the Bad River. If you look high enough and far enough up the river, you'll see the Pinoki Mountains. To the east is Birch Hill, and then you got the Pinoki Mountains, and then Bayfield County. But if I look further to the west, I see the Spirit Mountain area, and I see the Minnesota Iron Range. And I see the St. Louis River watershed that is devoid of wild rice, that is currently in a billion-dollar rehab plan that is not being paid for by the mining companies. It's the taxpayers of Minnesota that are going to be footing that bill. Now, I don't know if the wannabe mining barons, Chris Klein, Bill Williams, and Scott Walker in Wisconsin, really understand how that's going to fractal over. The Iron Range and those ore bodies are very important in terms of magnetic and everything else, but they're very important to the regenerative abilities of this area to produce groundwater that bubbles up as artesian water and all that other stuff. At any rate, our request is simply to leave that ore alone. And in the meantime, you have Ashland. One of the biggest development initiatives in the last year here has been a $2 million business loan given to a co-op expanding. And there's tons of green initiatives going on in this area. The sad fact is, for GTAC, is that this area does not need the mine. And Lake Superior is only going to get more valuable and more blue as the world gets thirstier around us. And let's look way out to the west. There is California in a 100-year drought. Let's extrapolate out 100 years and just think about how water-rich we are. We had a thunderstorm just a few days ago. The artesian water wells in Ashland were absolutely flooded and just bubbling over. It was unreal. Yeah. And that's my last comment is, there are artesian wells bubbling all along the lakeshore that people drink free water off of, but there are springs popping up all over on the bed of Lake Superior. That is connected to that ore body down there. The same way all of that water is pumping up out of the top of the mountain. Now, the big mystery is, how do you get under the earth and make that connection scientifically? And, you know, you don't have to. Look at point source distribution. When you look at a map, and all you have to do is grab a map of the Pinokis and the Bad River watershed, you can see how all things emanate from that mountaintop. Tyler Forks, Caroline Lake, into the Bad River, all these streams, Bull Gus Creek, all these streams all join down below the Pinokis on their way to Lake Superior. That's point source pollution that is just waiting to be unleashed. And all we're saying is, Gawin, this area, meaning no, this area is alive, doing well, and there are seeds of life already occurring in Hurley that we can look to and continue to expand on. You know,
Mike Wiggins, let me jump in because we have a break coming up, but I'm very happy you called in. Yeah. You are the chair of the Bad River?
Yeah, and I'm sorry if I'm so excited. I just
no.
was listening, and all of a sudden I had an idea. I thought,
I'm glad you called in. And what is your give us your reaction to a couple of other developments in the news this week about the mine, including GTAC saying that it will delay the submission of its application for the mine. It'll be pushed back from the spring until at least the fall because they still have more work to do. And the $700,000 donation from GTAC to the group supporting Governor Walker.
Very disappointed to hear about that $700,000 donation when I reconcile that with the day Governor Scott Walker told me that he is not pushing the mining initiative at all. And if I needed to talk to anybody about the mining, I needed to go to Republican legislators. And, you know, just very disappointed to hear that. And you know, when I think about him not driving the mining legislation, maybe that's true, but then I got to think, well, how much did that $700,000 drive, you know, the governor in terms of his pen signing that legislation into law, which was, you know, obviously something we disagreed with. As far as the mining company goes, they're up here in the north, there has been just misstep after misstep after misstep, right down to the nitric acid bottle found in the Otavero farm with GTAC labeling on it. You know, things like that are very, very shady and hard to reconcile. The big part about GTAC's effort is they really don't know the mountain. They don't know the Bad River watershed. They don't know Lake Superior. They arrived from Florida a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and I seen them. They were in my office in nice fancy suits and telling me how they were going to, you know, explode the headwaters there and it was going to be great for everybody. You don't take an unbelievable amount of metal that's drawing all of that groundwater from the earth and just bubbling it up for drinking water and everything else for life. You don't take and destroy that area, replant, or I'll say this, pack the ground back in and replant grass and say that's prosperity. What you're creating is a burial ground, except you're exhuming the very thing that's giving life. And then you're patting that earth down and planting grass and saying, there, we reclaim that. I mean, and even then, the big issue is they can't reclaim it without toxicity. Show me a mine that's been really reclaimed cleanly. And again, let's go to the St. Louis River watershed where there's a $1 billion effort to try and clean that river system up. You compare St. Louis River watershed, you look at impaired waters. You look at Bad River watershed, outstanding, beautiful waters. I mean, everything's running blue. And Bad River, at 70,000 gallons of effluent a day, tiny, we're getting our stuff cleaned up because we intend to be here for another 1,000 years.
Yeah, Mike Wiggins, thank you so much for calling in. We will get our guest, Michael Kraft, who is a professor emeritus of political science from UW Green Bay, to respond to your comments in just a moment, and we'll take more of your questions or views on today's big question. Do you think the EPA should shut down the iron mine activity in northern Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the mine in northern Wisconsin and tribal leaders from Wisconsin asking the EPA to shut down the proposed mine in Ashland and Iron counties. We are talking with Michael Kraft, who is a professor emeritus of political science as well as public and environmental affairs at UW Green Bay, about some recent developments in this proposed mine. And I guess, the chair of the Bad River Band of Chippewa, Mike Wiggins, called in just before the break and had a lot to say. And I guess I'm just going to ask you to, Michael Kraft, respond to whatever caught your ear.
Yeah. Well, I would just say Mike Wiggins gave you a pretty thorough review of the water quality issues and the concerns that the tribes have and why they filed the request. He made a reference to a 404C. That's the Clean Water Act section that allows the tribes to petition the EPA. I think he covered pretty much a lot of ground. The water quality in the area, groundwater quality, Lake Superior, the fact that this is a, Wisconsin is an area, especially in that part of the state, very rich in water quality resources, and I think you heard it directly from him. The tribe does not want to see that jeopardized by a mining operation, particularly by a company that they apparently had very little confidence in. Yeah. And that gets to the heart of public opposition, which several of the callers noted. And the, he also responded to the earlier caller's statement about the tribe itself being a polluter and says they are a relatively minor polluter in the area. They are now addressing, they have the technology and have the funds to address that issue. So I think what you heard is the reason why so many of the tribal members and other people who live in the area are opposed to GTEC coming in to mine. They just don't think it's likely to be done in an environmentally safe way.
Yeah, let's go to Carl in Madison next. Hello, Carl.
Yes, hello. Under Director Kathy Stepp, I think the Wisconsin DNR has been acting more like the Chamber of Commerce than the protector of our natural resources, whether it's the GTAC mine or Line 61, the tar sands line that runs down through the heart of Wisconsin that most of us don't even know about. This open for business mentality is just shooting ourselves in the foot in terms of what this state represents, our pristine ecology, particularly the northern region, and how beautiful that is. This would be the largest open pit iron mine in the world, as proposed. And if you're going to take something like that, scar back the earth and create that kind of a horrific wound on the face of the earth, you're going to disturb things that will take thousands of years or more to try to come back. So I really applaud any effort to roll back this idea and to put us back on a sane path toward sustainability and some sense of a legacy for our children and grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you put it that way, Professor Kraft.
Well, yes, and of course that Carl's indicating what many opponents of the mine have suggested all along, and also the reason why they do not trust the current DNR, which is under the leadership of a new secretary appointed by the governor. And I think there is a concern, particularly on the part of Democrats and environmentalists and many citizens of the state, that the DNR has leaned very heavily toward, as you put it, the Chamber of Commerce mentality or economic development. Every DNR-like body around the country is constantly trying to balance economic development and job creation with adequate environmental protection. I think a lot of people feel that Wisconsin DNR has leaned too heavily toward the economic development side, and the mine is the biggest example we have of that, but by no means the only case, whether we're talking about oil pipelines or other issues. There's a fear that the DNR is no longer balancing properly the environment versus economic development issues.
We have just a minute or so to go. Do you expect the EPA to step in this situation?
Oh, that's hard to say. As I mentioned, they stepped in the case of the Pebble Mine and made a decision, but we've had many more years of environmental assessments in that case. And even when the EPA steps in, it's not a definitive decision. They issue a preliminary opinion subject to public comment. It does look from this year's action on the Pebble Mine as though that is finished. So there's the precedent we have for Wisconsin. The DNR still, as I mentioned, probably would take a year or two, if not more. GTEC has to do its own assessment, then the DNR acts. Meanwhile, we have the tribal request to the EPA. Frankly, I thought all along, once the legislation cleared the state legislature, that assuming the DNR approved it, there would be lawsuits, and it would be years before the mine were to actually open, if ever. And I think the latest decision probably casts even more doubt on that. And if people, as Carl said, if people really are opposed to this, I suppose they ought to let the DNR know and let their legislators know that they really don't want to see the mine go forward.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Michael Kraft is a professor emeritus of political science as well as public and environmental affairs at UW Green Bay. Let me thank my producers this morning, Bill Martins, Justin Williams, Marika Saval, and Christy Taylor. And thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come, and I hope that you are with us tomorrow at this time. We are going to talk about the latest Marquette University Law School poll results, including the race for governor in Wisconsin.